After God formed, made, and created man, he put man within the Garden of Eden. And there, together with the woman whom God had also created, they together were able to live in fellowship and harmony with each other and with God. There, they were to care for the garden which God had put them in, and they were to be the rulers over the earth, created in God's image to carry out His purposes and His will upon God's creation. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse 16, we see the one command which God had given to man. In verse 16 we read, "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" Here within this original paradise, or in this Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve together were able to live for God and to live within the great abundance which God had given them. God had said that they were able to freely eat of every tree of the garden, with the one exception of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Therefore, God had endowed them with a great abundance, and He had endowed them with the ability to freely choose what they were to do within that garden. Only one restriction was placed upon them: not to eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Therefore, right from the beginning, man was faced with a choice: to obey God or to disobey with God. If he obeyed God, the promise was that God would care for him and be with him, and that he would be able to freely partake of all that was in that Garden of Eden. This was implied in all that God had done and provided for him. And yet, it was also stated that there would be a specific consequence if Adam disobeyed that one command. And that was that if he ate of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, that in that day, or when he did it, he would surely die. In Genesis chapter 3, we begin the record of what is commonly called the record of the fall of man. And in verse 1 we read, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" Well, let me ask you a question. Has a serpent ever come up and talked to you? Or have you ever heard of a serpent talking to anyone that you know? Well, probably not. And what we have here is a figure of speech. That is a figure of speech which is literally called hypokatastasis. And that is the use of a symbol or of an animal to indicate the characteristics of a living being. The living being here is Satan or the devil. And we know this because of the understanding which we gain from the New Testament. Turn over to the book of Revelation, the last book within the Bible. Keep your finger in Genesis chapter 3 and turn to the book of Revelation chapter 12. As I told you earlier, a great key for us today in understanding the Old Testament is to understand the New Testament. When we see them together, we have much greater understanding than the people who lived in the Old Testament times themselves, because we are able to see the spiritual significance or the spiritual realities which were taking place behind the scenes. Realities which the children of Israel at that time did not have a knowledge and understanding of. In the book of Revelation in chapter 12, we see very specifically stated who that serpent was, who that serpent represented. And in verse 12 of Revelation chapter 12, we read, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon." Michael was an archangel of God, and he and his angels fought against the dragon. "And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough," that is, the dragon was not strong enough, "and they lost their place in heaven," that is, the dragon and his angels. "The great dragon," verse 9, "was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him." Here we see the Word of God telling us about a great battle which takes place in heaven. A battle between Michael the archangel and his angels, and a battle which took place with the devil, or Satan, who is called the dragon and who is called the serpent. The dragon, or the serpent, or the devil, or Satan, together with his angels, fight against Michael and his angels, a spiritual battle taking place in heaven. And it says here that the dragon and his angels lost that battle and were hurled to the earth. Who then is that serpent? He is the ancient serpent who today we know as Satan or the devil. This is a great truth within the Bible that the New Testament explains or gives us further understanding about the Old Testament. Understanding which we cannot gain simply by reading the Old Testament itself. Satan was the one who is described in Genesis chapter 3 as being the serpent. And he is described as being the serpent because this gives us a vivid picture of a snake tempting Eve. A snake in all the connotations which go along with that today. This is the way that the children of Israel at that time saw this. They saw a serpent tempting Eve, a representation of some being who was tempting and trying to deceive Eve. And we see here in Revelation chapter 12 that Satan or the devil is the one who leads astray the whole world. This we know today, that Satan is the spiritual force which deceives the world. And in Genesis chapter 3, we see the original deception where Satan deceives Eve and begins to lead astray the world. So let's turn back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Satan then was an angel of God. He was one of God's original angels. And the Bible says that he was great in beauty, and yet his beauty caused him to have great pride within himself, and thus he decided to try to usurp the throne of God and to become worshipped as God himself. Here in Genesis chapter 3, then, we see this serpent who is in opposition with God, the serpent, the devil, or Satan, who is trying to lead astray Eve in opposition to God's command. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" Well, did Satan know what God said? He most certainly did. What is he trying to do here then? He is trying to deceive Eve. He is trying to tempt her to turn away from the commandment of God. And he says to her, "Did God really say?" Is this what God really said? That you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And yet, what is it that God had said? God had told Eve that that man and Eve were able to eat freely of every tree of the garden, of all of that abundance, with the exception of that one tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Therefore, we see how Satan tries to pervert that word of God which God gave to man and woman. Verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden." We may eat fruit, but is that what God said? No, God had said that they could freely eat of it. In other words, Satan had caused Eve to consider this commandment of God, and he had caused her to break away from the original God-breathed Word of God by changing the Word of God, because God said that they could freely eat, emphasizing the great abundance which he had given them. Eve simply responds to the devil by saying, "We may eat. We may eat. We can eat." In other words, lessening the effect of the great abundance which God had given her. But God did say, "You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden," verse 3, "and you must not touch it or you will die." Now, did God say anything about touching that fruit of that tree? No. He simply said that they were to not eat of it. So we see here that, first of all, Eve deletes that word freely, thus lessening the effect of the great abundance which God had given them. And then, as she considers this question, her response to the serpent is that he had also not only told them that they couldn't eat of it, but they were also to not touch it as well. Therefore, Eve had added to the word of God. She had changed that word of God, first by deleting a word and then by adding to it. And this is a great lesson for us today, because whenever we change that word of God, we no longer have the God-breathed word. We no longer have the true word. Instead, we have the commandments and the doctrines of men. We have our own interpretations. We have our own rules and regulations, which are either lessen the effect of that word of God, or they bring us under bondage to the traditions, to the rules and regulations of men. So we see here then that the devil was able to tempt her. He was able to deceive her, to get her to consider as to whether God had really given her something which was really beneficial to her. Or was it simply something less than what was really available to her? Verse 4. After then deceiving the woman, the serpent comes out and he shows his true colors. He says to the woman in verse 4, "You will not surely die. You will not surely die." And yet, what had God said to the woman? What had he said to Adam and Eve? He had told them that in the day that they ate of it, they would surely die. That is, that they would absolutely die if they ate of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Satan then comes out as the serpent, as that deceiver of mankind. He comes out and shows his true colors and directly contradicts the word of God. This then is the purpose of Satan. He is trying to deceive us. He is trying to deceive the world. And he does this by attacking the word of God, by causing men and women to no longer believe the word of God. He tries to get us to pervert that word of God, to lessen its effect, to get us to change it, to no longer believe in it as the God-breathed word, as the word of truth. And instead, he comes out and directly contradicts it, showing his true colors here in verse 4. "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Therefore, Satan comes to this woman and deceives her. And after deceiving her, he shows his true colors by directly contradicting the word of God, and then by saying to her that God does not have your best interest at heart. Instead, he's keeping something secret from you. He knows that if you ate of this, you would become like him. What a great temptation Satan is putting before this woman. The same temptation which he puts before mankind so often. And that is the temptation to become like God, to know good and evil, to be the ones who decide for ourselves what is right and wrong, to be the ones who decide to live in the way which we want to live instead of in the way which God himself says is the correct way to live within this life. Satan misrepresents God's intentions for man. Whereas God had originally given to man this great abundance within that Garden of Eden, where man and woman could live together in perfect fellowship and harmony with God. Satan represents God as being someone who is trying to hold back from man that which is good for him. And he says to the woman, "If you'll just eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will become like God." Just as man today is trying to do, to become like God, by saying that, "Hey, I don't need God. I can decide for myself what's right and wrong. I can determine what is good and evil. Simply, there is no evil. Instead, I will decide for myself what I will do. But this is not the testimony of God's Word. The Word of God is that God is the Creator. He is the one who has designed life and designed the way in which man is to live within it. He is the one who knows the best way for man to live within that life. He is the one who has designed and created life and brought it into existence according to His divine purpose and great infinite wisdom and love. If you and I as people are to live in this life in harmony with God's will, then we must come to His Word and we must live according to His Word so that we can receive the fruits and the benefits which God desires for us. Here then we see Satan and we see his operation within the world to destroy that Word of God, to destroy the knowledge of God so that man will be without that knowledge of God and thus living his life in error. He puts then before this woman this great temptation to become like God, something which looks so desirable to man. Verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. The woman then was deceived. The serpent was able to carry out that which he desired to do. He deceived this woman by putting before her this false promise that she would be able to become like God. It looked good to her. She looked at that fruit and she saw that it was something good. It was pleasing to the eye. It was desirable for gaining wisdom. This is what she thought, because this is what the devil had put into her mind. This is how the devil had deceived her. So she took some of it and she ate it. And as a result, she gave some also to her husband who was with her, and he ate it as well. This then was the breaking of the commandment of God. It was the original sin. Sin always is simply the breaking of the commandment of God. It is to not do what God says. It is to live contrary to the revealed will of God. And here that will had been expressed in that one commandment as was given to Adam and Eve, that they were free to eat of every tree of knowledge, of every tree within that Garden of Eden, except for that one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. The eyes of them both were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made covering for themselves. Did what Satan say come to pass? In a sense, yes, but it was not in the sense which he had portrayed to them. Because when they ate of it, their eyes were open, but what was the immediate result? It was fear. It was shame. They saw that they were naked, and immediately they desired to cover themselves because of their shame which had come upon them. This is the way Satan always operates. This is his deception. He makes the things of the world look good. He makes things look as though there will be benefit if we'll just accept what he says rather than what God's Word says. It is deceiving. It looks good, but it isn't. Therefore, what occurred? Man and woman ate of that forbidden tree of knowledge of good and evil. They ate of it, their eyes were open, and immediately they were filled with shame. Verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Look at this beautiful figurative language expressing that intimate relationship which they had within that Garden of Eden with God, the fellowship which they had with God, how God here was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. But when they heard that sound, it says, they hid from the Lord God from among the trees of the garden. Immediately they were filled with fear. When they ate that fruit, their eyes were open. And yet what were the consequences? Shame and fear. This is what came upon them. Verse 9. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" Verse 10, he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Well, did God know where they were? Certainly he did. But again, we have this figurative expression, this figurative image given to us to express the great truth which is occurring here. Because God says to them, "Where are you? Where are you, Adam and Eve?" And Adam's answer is, "Well, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. Therefore, I hid." Look at what had occurred to Adam and Eve, the fear that had come into their lives, the shame which was within their lives. And therefore, they hid from God. They hid from that God with whom they had had that intimate fellowship, with whom they had that perfect fellowship within that Garden of Eden. Verse 11, "And God said to them, 'Who told you, Adam, that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you to not eat from?' The man said in verse 12, 'The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it.'" So man immediately endeavored to shirk his responsibility, that he was not the one at fault, but instead he had simply eaten from that fruit which his wife had given him. Verse 13, "Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate.'" And this is actually what literally occurred. The woman was deceived. She was deceived by that serpent. And she took of that fruit and ate. Therefore, the woman, realizing what occurred, tries to put that responsibility upon the serpent. Then, verse 14, "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, because you have deceived this woman, because you have brought about the breaking of my commandment by your deception, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel.'" This then is what occurred as a result of this original sin. First of all, the serpent was cursed. Satan, the devil, was cursed. This was the result. And here we have in figurative language that which is going to occur to the serpent. You can see here this image in the eyes of the children of Israel as they read this account. How they see the serpent and the great shame which is brought upon him. How he is going to crawl on his belly and eat dust all the days of his life. "Then to the woman," verse 16, "God said, 'I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you.'" The woman was deceived by the serpent. And this is something we need to understand, because the origin of all evil within this world is spiritual. It originated with Satan here within the Garden of Eden. And yet man and woman are responsible for their actions, because we have the freedom of will to choose, just as Adam and Eve had the freedom of will within that Garden of Eden. Here then we see the consequences of their failure to live according to God's word. God said to the woman, "You also will have consequences as a result of this." And then in verse 17, "To Adam God said, 'Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your brow. You will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. This is the consequence which came about because of the original sin. Satan deceived man, and as a result, man and woman sinned. And as a result of that, these consequences came upon them. Judgment came upon man and woman. The whole earth was brought into turmoil. And the eventual great cataclysmic event which occurred was that sin came into the world. And as a result of that sin, evil entered the world. Calamity came about within the world. Disease. Life became something which was difficult. There were all kinds of things which occurred. No longer was man living in perfect fellowship and harmony with God. Instead, he had to toil. He had to labor by the sweat of his brow to bring forth the food which he was to eat. Life became difficult, a struggle. A struggle which was to continue down through the ages. And the greatest consequence of all was that man brought upon himself death. Death. The death which occurred as a result of that original sin. Because God had said that in the day or when they ate of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, that they would surely die. Emphasizing the great truth that death would be the result of that original sin. This then is what occurred. At that moment of the original sin, man became spiritually separated from God. The fellowship which he had with God, that intimate fellowship, no longer existed. No longer was there the perfect harmony within that original paradise, within that Garden of Eden. Instead, sin entered the world and man and his relationship with God was broken. From that point on then, spiritual consequences came upon man. Sin entered the world, and as a result of sin, death came upon all men.